Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't doing alone.
Ain't doing alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
wake up,
wake up,
wake up.
It don't matter, yeah, yeah. What race, creed, or color, everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
Come on down, wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way.
They're the ones that suffer each and every day.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
I am on mute. That's not good. So wake up. Wake up, everybody. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Welcome. Welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, your host for Bring Back the Family. I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we're going to start out with a scripture and a prayer. And we have some special little people that was willing to help me today, and because it's going to be like a young folks show today, and it's going to be a mixture, and they was willing to help me, and so we have Anaya Drake, and she is going to do our scripture, and then we have a Aubrey Drake, and she's going to do our prayer. Okay, so ladies, are you ready, Anaya?
Yes.
Okay, go for it, sweetie.
Hello, my name is Anaya Drake, and I will be reading scripture from Romans 12:9-21. It is titled, Love in Action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people with low prosecution. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, mine is to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord, on contrary. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word.
Hello, my name is Aubrey Drake. Let us pray. Lord God, we up to your position with heart of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for Blog Talk and Radio as the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that you will use us and this venue to help us learn how we can really bring back the family. That is in the manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord God, please bring back the family, provide a way to help your children do what it is you have for them to do. We are your children. Please help our parents to give us what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that bring back the family, concentrate on you. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. So we ask your blessing this afternoon on all who will speak and to them that are listening. Let your word come forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You girls did wonderful. I thank you so much. Train up a child. Thank you, girl.
You're welcome.
Good deal. That's our future right there. That's our future. Okay. So wake up, everybody. The song Wake Up Everybody, it says a lot, and it should give us a whole lot to think about when it comes to our youth and the support that they need. And it's a call. The song says it's a call. It's a call for people to wake up. Wake up to what's going on around us. It's a call for us to get engaged and to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time. It's calling for reform and change and awareness, hope and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and the changes and support and sacrifice, meeting people and our youth right where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Bring back the family is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation comes from us as parents and the community. It comes from me and from you. Okay? A good foundation, something that they can stand on, strong, sturdy. So what do we propose to do? Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Time is up, it's time for us to ante up and, you know, give them what we had. Actually, give them more than what we had, because, you know, it's a different time and a different generation, different generational mindset, okay? And we just have to meet them where they are, okay? Start from scratch, the basics, with just some simple love, caring, and sharing, and just being concerned, okay? Giving them encouragement, meaningful conversation, positive affirmation. Just, you know, let them know that they're beautiful, that they're smart, that they're strong, intelligent. We need them to survive, okay? And that we're here for them, okay? Ask them what is it that they need, okay? And most important, just let them know that God loves them, you know, that God loves them, okay? And just let them know who God is. Tell them about God and what he can do for them and what he's brought us through. We have to tell them about our trials and tribulations and how we got through them, okay? And give them some workbooks. Start a reading club, a book club, Bible study, and just encourage their reading, okay? You know, I'm just happy about what Bring Back the Family is doing in the community and on our block, and all the plans and programs that we have planned for the future. It's like a new movement, or just a movement, just to get our parents interested and totally involved in their child's learning and their future. So as I work with the youth on my block and I ask questions about their learning and their school experience, I just kind of get, you know, disappointed in with what they tell me, you know. But it really lets me see where and why our children are failing and falling behind. It just gives me more ideals and more to work on. So one of the things that that we just started and we're working on, Miss Jackie mentioned last week, and Miss Jackie's on with us today. She is really helpful. Grateful. Hi, Jackie, yeah. And so, hi, Miss Jackie. She's on with us today. And last week she mentioned that she had one more slot in her tutoring that she does. And I heard that loud and clear, and I was listening. And so, I was paying attention. And, you know, with her tutoring, she said she's paying forward. She's paying forward. And so I filled that slot that she had open with our kids. She said she had one slot, but she ended up doing two for one. And after she did her assessment and with a couple of our kids, and so, you know, two of our kids fitted in that one spot, you know, like twins split it. And so Miss Jackie saw the real need, and she took on both students. So now Bring Back the Family on my block is getting tutoring, one-on-one, through Zoom, one-on-one for an hour every day, okay? And it's very interesting to see Miss Jackie in action via Zoom. It's like a doctor performing surgery or something, and with the one-on-one time and the quality time for the 1 hour a day, you know, they're motivated. They have a long way to go, but they are willing to put the time in, okay? And I just can't wait to give, you know, our listening audience the results of what 1 hour a day will do for your child. So this is a time that, you know, I mean, this is a time our kids really, really, really need us now. And it's your investment. Donate to your children, your own cause, okay? Donate to your children. It's like a donation, an investment. Kids want you to care for them. They want the one-on-one. You know, it's important to them. Pop your head in the classroom sometime, you know, just see exactly what they're doing. They really want that one-on-one. So that's what Bring Back the Family is doing right now, and doing the tutoring, and I just can't wait to give you the results when they're caught up and they go from their F's to their A's. And that's what we're working on, okay? And so, you know, because when kids, when they can't do well, they become disruptive when they can't do well. And so that's what's happening a lot in our classrooms. They're not understanding. The teachers won't give them the time to, you know, explain the lesson. And so then if they don't know what they're doing, they won't turn their homework assignments in. And then that's where the behaviors come in at. So they can't get what they need. They can't get questions asked. They can't get explanations. And then they get discouraged. And then they start to, you know, be maybe disruptive in the class. And that's where those behaviors come in at. And so then nobody learned. And then I was told that there are 39 kids in the classroom. That's too many kids. 39 kids for one teacher. So we really need to go and see what's happening. If our kids are telling us there's 39 kids in the classroom, we need to go see that for ourselves and just see what's going on, you know, and why they can't get the help that they need. That might be one reason. Teachers overwhelmed and overworked with all the kids.
Well, you know what, Kathy? I remember one time, this was many years back, when they had over a certain number of kids in the classroom, and the fire department came in and started giving citations to any classroom that had over a certain amount of kids. And they came in, and then they brought in additional teachers to split those classes up to take off some of that workload off the teachers. But you know what I found out, like today when we were doing tutoring, when that teacher found out, when I asked her, because children don't know how to express themselves properly to a teacher. So when she typed in to her teacher, "My tutor needs clarification on ABCD," she immediately got her answer. And I think she immediately got her answer because now this teacher knows that I have one these bricks have been knocked off of my shoulders where now I have someone investing into the child, so I can, if I get a few more parents or community leaders that have skills in certain areas, like for instance, if someone is good in math, that knocks that brick off of that teacher because that teacher can teach if the kids can keep up. So it's important for what we're doing, but I'm just so excited. And the young man that I told you earlier that was helping, he's online with us, Kathy. But I'm just so excited about some news I have to tell you all. So whenever you get ready for me, Kathy, I'll be ready.
Okay, great. Okay, so, yeah. So today we're going to be talking about complete, you know, our college kids, bring back the family college kids and the students in college, the ones that's completing their first year, second year. They might be a senior, a junior, maybe a senior. And we're going to talk about, you know, their goals, any updates for the future. We're going to talk about college scholarships and resources, business, entrepreneurship. We're entering the close of the semester classes, wrapping up. We got finals coming up, getting ready for the holidays and all of that. And we also have, Anthony Cox from Michigan State University is going to share his accomplishments with us and let us know what's going on and what's upcoming and any updates. We have Jacob Ribron. He was the one that was highlighted on Channel 4 with Avron Cassidy, and he's going to come and talk about his certification he's working on. Dan Brannigan, he's going to give us an update of what he's doing. And we have Teresa Landrum, and she's going to come to us and talk to us about some community things and clean air and all that, and some things that she has for the youth to, some projects she has for the youth to do. Okay, so everybody that's going to be on today, I need you to press 1 so I know that you're there. And we're just going to get started with you guys. We're going to let you guys have the young people have the show today, College Cafe. if you are going to be speaking with us, just press 1 so I know where you are, okay? And I'm going to open your mics, okay? Okay, who do we have out there? Hello.
Hello.
I'm bringing back the family. Who do we have out there?
It's Anthony Cox. I don't know if you guys hear me?
Well, hello. I hear you loud and clear. Hi, oh, Anthony. Tony.
Yeah,
okay. How you doing?
Sorry about that. I'm good. I'm so sorry. I'm at work right now. I'm on my break right
That's
now,
okay.
but. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Well, go ahead and talk about what you need. Talk about your accomplishments, what you have to share with us that you're doing, you know, great things.
For sure. Hi, guys. My name is Anthony Cox. I'm a junior at Michigan State University. I major in apparel and textile design with a minor in business. Right now, I've been actually in the works of talking to Nike and Gap, actually, for internships through Portland, Oregon, and as well as New York for Gap. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. Also, I have a fashion magazine that I actually made up here at Michigan State called Iris Magazine. And we just finished up casting calls yesterday. So, yeah, it's been going pretty good. We're coming up on our magazine next semester, and we're doing a fashion show next semester, too. And, yeah, that's pretty much it right now, actually. And I'm finishing up the school year with my finals and final projects and stuff. Hello?
Well, that's exciting. You have a magazine.
Okay.
What is it called?
It's called Iris Magazine. Can y'all hear me? Hello?
Wait a minute, I can't hear you. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, it's called Iris Magazine.
Yeah, can y'all hear me? I'm sorry. I think it keeps on cutting out.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's my earphone.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's acting up. So
okay,
we do hear you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's called Iris Magazine. Yeah, it's a fashion / photography / or at Michigan State University. Anyone is welcome, student or not. Grad, you know, alum and everything. So, yeah, we're doing pretty good. We just finished up our casting calls yesterday. You know, we're getting ready to start setting up our fashion show for next semester. for the spring semester in term.
Okay, well, that sounds exciting.
Well, thank you.
So you're into fashion. So what are you going to do with all that fashion?
So right now, I plan on going to, you know, my internship, getting my BFA, you know, done everything for my undergrad. I'm thinking about going to grad school for business, but like in my MBA, but I'm still kind of going through the work. But right now, you know, going like through product kind of development for like Nike or Gap. And then later in the like years, I want to be a creative director for a brand while having my own brand. So, yeah.
Okay. So now you said, now you're doing your internship. Now where's your internship at? Where are you doing it at?
So right now I have an internship at the Eli Broad Museum in East Lansing. But in over the summer, I'm looking at two offers from Gap or Nike for either fashion marketing or product design and accessories.
Okay, so what do you do with your internship? What do you do there? How are
you for my internship right now, I'm actually a tour guide for kids, and I'm part of an ed program. So basically, I help kids in like K-12 learn a perspective of art by, you know, of their own way. It's a pretty good program. Right now, we're actually going through the works of setting up events for you know, college students for like, you know, mental health days and everything, because finals are coming up and it's really stressful. But it's pretty good. We actually just had our 10-year anniversary for the museum as well, which was, we had a huge turnout for that too. So yeah.
Okay, so you're a tour guide. So you have kids that come from all over in different schools, and they bring the classes up, and you do the tours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And do you do tours of the whole campus as well?
I don't tour the whole campus, but if people are welcome to come, I can give them a tour, like a quick tour. It's not going to be professional, but I can still give a tour of the campus and everything.
Good deal. Okay. All right. Well, those are some good accomplishments. Okay.
Well, thank you.
So, anything else you want to share with us?
No, but I do want to say thank you so much for like inviting me and everything to this. You know, if you ever have like need to contact me or anything, my email is coxanth1@msu.edu. And yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, give us that email again.
Cox, coxanth1 @msu.edu.
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And anytime that you want to come on, you just know where to find us, don't you?
Yes. Thank you, Aunt Kat.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. See you soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Because we do plan to bring a group of kids up and let you show us the art museum. And take advantage of your tour. Okay?
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Okay, who else we have here?
Hey, this is Jacob.
9098. Jacob, okay.
Yep.
Jacob,
yes,
how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Just wonderful. That's a scholar there. So what do you have to talk to us today about?
I was going to talk about the Udemy and my certification course I'm taking.
Okay. What can you tell us about it? And what can you
Udemy is an app where you can pay to learn about different tech. Like, it's almost like a trade school. You can learn different trades. You can learn how to code, fly drones. It's like an app that can take with, like, the hobby, and it teaches you basically about the hobby. It's almost like getting a degree in college. Right now, I'm taking a course on coding. So right now, it's just teaching me how to. It's a JavaScript course. The JavaScript course is teaching me how to code and make websites and build, you know, like everything that goes into the details behind what you see on the surface. But when people look at a website, they see images that are designed, logos, pictures, everything that makes it look pretty. So I'm taking and teaching me how to go into the lines, the million lines of code to make everything line up so people can get the website that they look at.
Okay, so what exactly is the coding?
Coding is the creation of online sources like websites. The coding basically is a language where you use different modules and like sources to put together a website. Coding is like you can have like a million lines of word and everything must connect to each other or it won't work. Like coding is what builds all the websites and everything behind it, wiring everything, robots. Coding is the language that creates everything. Without coding, we're nothing exists. It creates websites, video games, everything. Everything is based off of coding. Your phone, everything.
Wow. Okay. What grade are you in, Jacob?
I'm in 11.
Wow, okay. So what would this be able to do for you after you finish?
Coding will give me the opportunity to get more jobs. Basically, it will make colleges take another look at me because they'll see I have a certification course on the JavaScript and they will want to give me a scholarship so I can go into technology and coding into that college. Or if I just want to go out and do a job, if people know I do coding, they might want to pay me to build a website or help out with a video and stuff. Coding will just give me opportunity to make more money and go to colleges and just give me more opportunities in life.
Mm-hmm. And that could be a business too, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not only that you could go and work for somebody, you could create your own business with that because people need websites, that's for sure. And the video games, what part does it play with that?
The
creation of the video game.
It plays everything, like between animation and coding, the video game, when it exists. Down to like how a character moves, how a character looks, the maps, everything is based off coding. Everything that you see is because of code. How the game acts, how it looks, how it sounds, everything relates back to coding.
Wow. Interesting. Do you have any questions, Ms. Jackie, or anybody have any questions? You could press one. That's very interesting. So what would you tell your peers about being able to do these the scripts?
Personally, I feel like I would tell them that it's going to be beneficial in the future. Know how everything is going to take place, how they're going to try to make everything technological. Like everybody's not going to be able to work in an office or work in a plant. Everything is going to be basically taken over by robots, and they're going to need people that's going to be able to control the robots or make the robots. People are always going to need websites made, videos made, and stuff. So it's a job that is never going to run out and end. So I feel like if they take time to go and learn, it's just going to be beneficial to them always in the long run.
So that's something of the future that's going to be really needed.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, Ms. Kathy,
I hope young people are listening so that they know that these are some of the things that they could be doing and that this is one of the that you could do that's going to be in the future. That's why we should encourage our kids to listen to Bring Back the Family because they can learn so much and they can learn that, you know, you have to stay busy. You have to get involved and do extra curriculum activities because it's what good for your resume. It's good for, you know, just having other things to say that you've done because people will invest, you know, with scholarships and things like that when they see that you're busy like that. You agree?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Jackie.
No problem. You know, there was a program this summer where, and I think, Ms. Kathy, we talked about it, And there were kids that were brought in to this university. And a friend of mine's, her grandson went. And they were all competing for a $500,000 scholarship. And the second prize was $250,000. And the third prize was $80,000. Well, because her grandson went to a special private high school, and they were paying a nice sum of money for him to go there, he had two certifications. So they were very proud of him with these certifications, because the majority of kids in the general Tri-City area knows nothing about coding, nothing about certifications. Please correct me. And so when they got there, the young gentleman from the Philippines who could not make it because he couldn't get his passport together, he was coming in with 10 certifications. The young ladies from, a young lady from Japan and one from China had, what was it? How many did they have? They had 5 certifications. The other young lady had 3 from another country. Her grandson had 2, and the little boy that went to public school, he didn't have any. So they were competing, and her grandson came in number 17 out of 27. Well, the kids before him, and so they were a little discouraged because they paid all this money for him to go to this high school. Understandable. But what happened was, and I said to her, before you get upset with him, find out how many children prior to him were from other countries. Come to find out, he would have been number 3 or 4 from the United States. But the other kids from him were from other countries. So what that's saying is that our children today have to compete against the world. So other countries are making sure that their kids are well prepared. Mm-hmm. And these certifications, they need more than one certification underneath their belt. And like he just said it, and I didn't look at it like that, it's like a trade school. And I'm glad he brought that to my attention, that it's a trade school. And so we're telling, everybody knows that their children need a trade except us. So, and I thank you for bringing that to my attention, because you rung a bell. But that's so important. And that's why I have, you know, Ms. Kathy, when you were talking the day about the corner, the cafe, or what you say, college cafe, because you're dealing with college students and to be college students. So that made me look up some things, and I came up with the cafe college. And when I came up and I started looking over these things, they have a contest for young people from the 7th grade to from the 7th grade to the 12th grade. I think it's an essay contest that is through FRA, Fleet Reserve Association. But I look down here for this contest, and I think that the first prize is $1,500, second prize $1,000, third prize $750 for the first, okay, and then it's $500. But the thing about it is they have until December 1st to write an essay on Americanism. Essay contest from grade 7 through 12. And this is something I'm so excited about because we still have time before December 1st to get that essay in. It has to be 350 words. Well, 350 words with somebody as long-winded as I am, it's not that many words. But I'm just so excited that they have out here. And if you, we had never talked about the Cafe Corner, we would have missed out on this. Isn't that awesome?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, so, well, that's ma'am. All I have to say. I have to go to say.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of conversation, and it do strike up a lot of different important things that we can use, that we can use. Yeah. Let me see. Okay, Jacob. 9990, you're on.
Hello, this is
that Ms. Jefferson?
Johnson.
Hi, Ms. Johnson. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? I just want to say how much I enjoy listening to your show.
Great. We appreciate you listening and joining in with us. These kids are doing so many great things. The youth are doing so many great things. We can't always just talk about, you know, what bad's going on. We got to think about the good things, and they're doing a lot of great things. And we have a lot of smart, intelligent young people that's doing some good things. So we want to hear about those good things once in a while, so all the time. Yeah, so.
Yes, all the time.
We had the young people on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Let me see. So if you're going to be speaking, you could press 1. Is Miss Teresa, are you on? You can press 1. Jacob, is it anything you want to leave with us, to tell us, anything else you want to share? Just continue to listen.
Not really. I just feel like younger students should open up their mind to stuff like JavaScript. So it may not be something that they might want to do right now, but I feel like in the long run, if they take time and do it, it's going to pay off. I just feel like more young people should look into stuff like this.
Okay. Do you share it with your peers?
Some of them know what I do, a couple of, not everybody, but a couple of them know what I do. But I feel
okay.
like people
do
that I feel interested? Like I will be interested.
Okay. Do they seem interested at all?
I can't speak for everybody, but if I see like somebody into doing animation or creation, something that I mentioned, and they might take time to look at it.
Okay. Good deal. Okay, so anything else you want to say to us or your listening audience? I know you were on with Avrot Cassamy. What kind of experience was that?
It was
everybody
a good experience.
Was watching. How did that feel?
I feel like it was a good experience, and it gave me a lot of opportunities in life that I wouldn't have before, like, it's giving me opportunity to get scholarships, and it's getting my name out there. Like, it's multiple business owners. Like it's multiple entrepreneurs that want to reach out to me and help me start a business because of the way my story came out. And the college that I mentioned, they want to look at me and potentially give me a scholarship. So I feel like if the interview never came by, I wouldn't have them type of opportunities. And I feel like it was really just a good experience for me to get my name out there.
Good deal. It was a good story, really good. What college are you interested in?
In the state, I'm looking at Oakland, but that's a college I'll go to in the state, but out of state, I'm looking at Clark.
Clark, okay. All right, we're going to be watching. Bring Back the Family is going to be watching. and waiting and see all the great things that you're going to be doing. Okay. Well, you just stay on because I don't know if someone might have a question for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Do we have, so press one if Dan, if you're on, let's see. Okay. 1305, you're on Bring Back the Family.
Okay, can you hear me? I'm here.
Yes. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, this is Dan. I'm sorry. I got caught up with some stuff.
Well, hello. That's all right. You guys are busy, and I'm glad you're busy. It's good to hear from you. You know, we don't hear from you guys often because I know you guys are out there busy doing your thing, and we're glad that you're away doing whatever you do. Just call back and give us an update. Just, you know, let us know your progress and all the great things that you're doing out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can give you a
how you been?
Yes,
we are ready. Daniel Brennan.
Okay, cool. So actually, my name is Dantavious Brennan, for everyone who doesn't know me, but I also go by Dan. Aunt Kat's niece or great niece is my girlfriend, Shania. She's out right now. So I just wanted to give some experience from my perspective. So I'm from Detroit, Michigan, like a lot of you probably are. I went to Michigan State. I graduated in December 2021, and I recently moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, to work for University of Cincinnati for the athletics department. So I do student athlete development there while also going to grad school at Michigan State fully online for my master's degree, which is in sports administration and leadership and coaching. So my path through college and high school, I would say, hasn't been linear because I've had a lot of things I've been interested in. So in high school, I played AAU. Like, I was on the traveling AAU team. I played basketball at Cass Tech, which was my high school. And it was when I reached the threshold of, you know, graduating from high school, I had to make a decision whether I really wanted to try to play basketball at the collegiate level or whether I just wanted to be a student or whether I just wanted to try to do both. And it was a tough decision, but I ultimately tried to do both. So I went to Michigan State, and I tried out for Michigan State's basketball team. I wasn't able to make it, unfortunately, but I still am active in the basketball realm. And I spent 4.5 years at Michigan State studying kinesiology, which is sports science, which is breaking down even simpler how the body moves and why it moves a certain way, but only in the field of athletics. So it's not really the medical field, but I do a lot of medical things in that field. I originally wanted to do athletic training or mechanical engineering, but athletic training didn't pay enough, and mechanical engineering wasn't really an interest to me anymore, so kinesiology was the route I took and chose. And now I'm out here in Cincinnati doing student-athlete development. So I'm an intern currently right now for UC, and I'm over the community engagement pillar of the academy, which is the entity that I truly work for. So we create innovative, impactful, and intentional programming for our students, for all student athletes here at UC, which is, for those who aren't familiar with UC or University of Cincinnati, it's a D1 school that's act the transition from the All-American Conference to the Big 12 Conference with teams such as Texas, Kansas State, Kansas, and Oklahoma. So I'm in the middle of the transition with them as well. And, I'm open to take any questions or any feedback.
Boy, you zoomed through that. You are busy. So do you like Cincinnati?
I say it's cool. It's definitely different from Detroit, I will say. It's a big city, but it's not like Detroit. It's really weird to explain. You would just have to experience it yourself to see it. But I do enjoy it out here. They told me that it wouldn't be as cold as Michigan, but that wasn't exactly true because it's cold here, even though we're right above Kentucky.
Right.
But it's It's pretty cool out here. I'd say I like it. It's a new environment to get used to. I'm broadening my horizons, so yeah.
Well, that's good. It's good to just, like you say, broaden your horizons. So it's good. If anybody have any questions, you're welcome to just jump in and ask a question. You can press 1 and open up your mic if you want to ask any of our college students a question. Mm-hmm. So you're going for your master's. So you're in school now, and you're working,
yeah.
And you're
mm-hmm.
And you're going to what school are you going to?
I'm still in Michigan State.
Where are you doing your master's? Oh, still in Michigan State.
Yeah. So I just stuck with what I know. Go green, go white.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So take it, you're doing it online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I also say I'm really involved with other things as well. So I've been practicing with like a semi-pro basketball team out here. So even though I didn't play in college, I'm still able to play at like a professional level and possibly get paid. So I'm still in the process of making the team and everything, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to make it because people drop off all the time. And I'm also involved with a lot of other organizations within MSU, so I'm in a kinesiology grad student organization, but I'm also in the Black Grad Student Association as well. I'm the vice president for that group, and I'm a general member for the kinesiology group.
Wow. I have a question for the young man.
Yeah.
I keep missing the name of the study that you're doing, and did you say kinesiology, and can you spell that for me?
Kinesiology. Kinesiology is spelled K-I-N. I still can't spell it, and I've been with the school for it. Okay, yeah, it's K-I-N-E-S-I-O-L-O-G-Y.
That's what I had.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, good.
Kinesiology. So what is that all about?
So kinesiology is the study of how the body moves but in a sports context. So let's just say, for example, I'll compare it to basically like a medical doctor or a nurse. So kinesiology is kind of like one of those pre-medical fields. It's a really broad field where you could do a lot with. So if I wanted to go to med school, which I was not really interested in going because it was for a lot of reasons, but you basically learn physiology and anatomy of the body. So anatomy is more so where everything is located in the human body, but physiology is how everything in the human body works together. So you would take classes like exercise physiology, so you would learn about things such as G-force or how your lungs expand while you're doing exercise or how certain angles of your body that move can affect whether you could get injured or whether you're playing as safe as you could play. So it's really just a study of how the body moves in the sports context, if that makes sense.
Okay. So is it like physical therapy? Is that what you'll be able to do with that, physical therapy? What else? What is that?
That's exactly what it's like, actually. So it's like physical therapy, orthopedic therapy, orthopedic rehab, orthopedic surgery, athletic training, coaching. It's a really broad space. I could possibly go to nursing school if I wanted to. I could become a physician assistant, which is basically a doctor. They make just as much money as doctors, but they don't have as much liability as doctors do, and they don't go to school for as long. So if someone was interested in, like, the medical field, you could get a kinesiology degree. You'll have the same knowledge as someone that's in, like, human biology. But if you go for a physician assistant degree, then that's only 2 years of schooling. Not to say that the 2 years won't be some hard schooling, but you could come out with six figures easily if you have that profession.
Wow, being a physician assistant.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's actually one of the top growing fields in kinesiology, actually in the world right now, because it's expected to grow by 30% by 2030.
Amazing.
So, So how will you give back to your community or to your, you know, the ones that's coming behind you?
I love this question. So I already do kind of give back. So what I do is I try to mentor as many young people, especially young men like myself, as I can. So I try to take as many as I can under my wing so they could see that I'm doing all of these great things, but know that they could do them as well. So actually, I was the president of Rising Black Man, which was my registered student organization when I was at Michigan State as an undergraduate student. And that was our purpose, was to mentor the freshmen and the young men that were coming through to Michigan State. And we also focused on retention of them going to Michigan State, because a lot of young black men specifically did not make it past that first semester of college due to either financial reasons, due to grades, due to family reasons, what have you. But having a close-knit support system of brothers, I'll say, that's with you, where you don't have to really pay to be a member, it helps you monumentally, because you have someone that's here that's like, that's been in that position, like, yeah, I've been through what you're going through, and this is how I overcame it, or these are some resources to help you overcome these things. So that's what I try to do. I also have some younger cousins that look up to me, and they always ask me, like, how's school going, or, you know, how could they get into college? And I'm like, you know, you can go to any school you want. You just have to work for it. And I can help you get there, because if I can make it, anybody can make it, honestly. Because I wasn't always, even though I'm smart, I wasn't always the smartest at certain times. So I made my own mistakes, but I've learned from them. And I try to give knowledge to those who will come after me so they won't make those same mistakes, but so they could excel and be at a higher level than me when they get to my age.
Wow, that's good. So who helped you to get as far as you did, and how can we, like, in our communities help, you know, the young fellas, the young kids, the young men, boys, youth, to think about a career like that?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just listening. You know, for the parents that are on the call, you could just listen to your child, really ask them what they want to do. If they don't know, it's okay to not know, but let's see if we can create a direction of where you want your life to go. Because some people, college isn't for them, and I understand that. But then others, it could be, well, I don't know if I want to go. Well, why don't you know? Is it because you don't like school, or is it for this other reason? Is it because you just have anxiety about certain things? So I think the first thing is really creating a strong support system for the child, because I come from a strong support system. My mom always checks on me. My brother, he does. When my dad was around, he did. And just surrounding them with people that are doing things that are successful. Because there's a lot of people that are successful that came from many neighborhoods that weren't as, you know, nice as some other people's, but they were able to make it out of that environment and make something of themselves. So even calls like this, putting them on the calls and just having them listen, you know, because I come from the west side of Detroit. I come from 6 Mile and Schaefer, basically, and I never seen anyone really do the things that I'm doing right now. But that also encouraged me to get out of that space, to make something of myself, but also to bring up people, as many people as I can with me. So I think that's the biggest thing, having a support system, asking the child what they want, and then just trying to help them create a plan that they feel comfortable with. So, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Any questions? Anybody have any questions for Mr. Dan? Press 1. We'll just jump right on in.
Mr. Dan,
Yes.
How many years did it take you to finish in what is called kinology?
Oh, yeah, kinesiology?
Yes. How many years did you have to go to school?
It was really only a four-year degree. I'm sorry. What are you saying now?
No, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was just a four-year degree. So I did the extra semester because I had to retake two classes. I'm not going to really talk about that because it was just, I will talk about it. So I took those two classes during COVID, like around when COVID first hit and school was going fully remote. So I was completely lost because we weren't having class within the semester had to go on. But, kinesiology is only a four-year program. It's usually offered at most major universities. If not, it could be offered at a two-year university as, like, a smaller curriculum. So it could be, like, sports. I think some of them just call it sports science instead of kinesiology. But, I would say it's a challenging degree, but you come out learning so much and knowing so much about the human body that you really could go to med school afterwards.
Okay. Now, you were saying earlier that you are not, don't have to be responsible for the liability insurance. Is that because you're not independent or and you're working under a company, or how does that work?
Oh, for the physician assistant career?
Your position is the same as the physician assistant?
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm sorry if I didn't. I strictly do more like sports administration work right now, but I have a kinesiology degree. I would say physician assistant is a great career because I was thinking about doing a physician assistant career, but maybe later on in life once I can afford to pay for it because it's really expensive at a lot of schools. But I'm not a physician assistant yet. Do I aspire to be one? Maybe someday, but
Okay, what's the difference in the pay scale?
For what I do now,
your position and the physician assistant.
This is really big, actually. So physician assistants, they can make, I think the median is around $115,000 per year. Right now, since I'm just now getting into my field, I can make probably starting around 70.
Okay.
But that's because a physician assistant, their job is basically being a doctor. That's really the reason why. So
right.
But
now
go ahead.
I do know that during the COVID, they had an excessive amount of requirements, responsibilities, where the doctors started doing telecommunication with the patients, and they had to do the actual physical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard something about that, and that's just because somebody in the family switch careers, and they didn't tell me, but I did some research behind it. Okay, but that's interesting to know because I wrote down the name, and I'm glad the young lady asked you how to spell it because I also wrote it down so I can look it up as well. But thank you, and I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Dan. Wow, that is great. Well, is there anything else you want to say or leave, you know, to your peers or underclassmen, the kids, the youth, or anyone that's listening? Hopefully we got a lot of the youth that's listening today. And what can we tell them? What can we do to encourage, you know, the next generation to, that's coming up. What can we do to encourage them to, go to college? Or what can we tell them to encourage them?
I can tell them to encourage them. I think the biggest thing, and it may sound kind of cliche, but the biggest thing you could tell them is that they could do anything they want. I think that's the most important thing. No matter what anyone says, no matter what your teacher says, no matter what anyone says, you could do what you want to do. If you feel like you could be the best artist, if you feel like you could paint the best, then paint.
Mm-hmm.
Buy them a paint set. Mm-hmm. If they want to be a doctor, you know, buy them a stethoscope. Excuse me. just feed those dreams, feed those desires and wants, and they'll either develop into what they want to be. They'll find out that they don't like it, or they might stumble upon something they may be interested in. But always follow your child's interests, because you never know. If the kid wants to down all day because they want to flip around, they might enjoy doing gymnastics. They might be an Olympic gymnast one day. Who knows? It's like kids, the thing is that I really feel like God designed everyone to have a purpose. So you're going to show your purpose at a young age. So
yes.
If the kid always jumping around, if they have a lot of energy, put them in activities where they can utilize some of that energy. You know, sometimes it's not about the kid just wanting to jump around and be around. Sometimes they're just within the person. They're just that type of person, to be actively doing things. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest advice. Just, you know, feed your child's desires. I'll say that.
All right. You're right. They are. God do give everybody gifts and talents, and you have to watch our kids while they're young and see exactly what they, you know, what they do, what they like, you know, what they, you know, what gift that they were given. But we have to pay attention to them. We do.
Definitely.
Okay, well, thank you, Dan. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. And just continue
thank
to
you.
Be, you know, successful in the person that you are. Enjoyed you today.
Thank you for allowing me to speak and to give my perspective. Thank you all.
Yep. Make sure you can stay on, but make sure you give. We'll be looking for another update soon. We got to keep up with you young folks. We're going to put you to work. Yeah.
I'm always a busy person. I love it.
Yes, good. Your mom raised a good son and your dad. Yeah. Let me see. Miss Teresa Landrum, are you on the line anywhere? Just press 1 so I know where to find you. Okay. And so we get ready to bring Ms. Landrum on. Let me know the website. Jeff, you already talked about the scholarship, correct? Let's see. Okay. I want to mention the business entrepreneur.
I was on mute.
You already mentioned. Okay, yeah, you mentioned the scholarship already, right? Correct?
No, I mentioned the essay.
Oh, the essay.
Scholarship, okay. Right. They can go to Cafe College, and they have a general list of places that are giving scholarships to young people for college. And so there's a lot of places that, and it's so many that I'm quite sure is over 30 or 40 here.
Okay.
It should be about 50 of them, but go to College, Cafe College, click on the scholarships. Mm-hmm. And that way they can start putting in for the scholarship for their kids for college. We talked about the essay writing contest
for children from the 7th grade to the 12th grade. And that's the one that's giving out from 1500 to, what did I say, 350 or 750, one of the two. Then they also had a grant program. I guess that's for like stuff that you do or the churches do, where they have a big scholarship, grant scholarship for $100,000. So that's what I had to speak about that.
Okay.
And then they had
I'm sorry.
They have an award recognition for teachers and things of that nature. People that's into science, students that are into science, that's contributing, that have an interest in the science. And that might be something that your nephews, because they too, you know, with the medical field, that's a form of science. So they have awards and recognition programs for that, and that's the one that has more than $100,000 in cash and prizes available every year.
Yeah. Wow. We're going to talk about that more.
That's under NSBA.
We're going to talk about that more.
Okay.
SBA?
No, STA.
We're going to talk about that more. STA?
Mm-hmm. National Science Teaching Association.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about that more. We're going to get some more information about that and see if we can, you know, get the kids to look at those scholarships. Because there's money out there for these kids. I just want to, Jazzy, she wasn't able to come on right now because she's working too. See, our kids out here working. So she has a business, and she has a line of lip care that she's created. Her name is Shop Jazzy Couture Beauty, and that's Couture with a K, Couture. Shop Jazzy Couture Beauty, and with a K, for all your lip care needs. It's getting cold outside, so protect your lips from cracking and crushing up. If you're also a business owner, JKB, which is Jazzy Couture Beauty, also offers business cards, designs, website design, and more. Feel free to follow on Instagram at Jazzy Couture Beauty. Okay, so that is Jazzy Couture Beauty. She has her own line of lipstick. This is a young girl. She's, I think she's about 19 or 20 or something, and she's has her own little lip care line, and I had the opportunity to purchase some, and it's really nice and soft and nice and glossy. And then we have a couple of young ladies that opened up a beauty supply, first black-owned beauty supply by two women, two young ladies. And it's in in Southgate on North Line Road. And we're going to give you more we'll give you more information on that. Okay, Jazzy's online. So, Jazzy, press 1, and I will let you in, okay?
And, Kathy, I think Jareef is online as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got Teresa. Okay. Jazzy?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, welcome. Welcome to Bring Back the Family, Jazzy.
Thank you. I'm actually at work right now.
Okay, well, tell us about your lip project, your lip lipstick.
Okay, so I sell lip gloss, lip balm. So my business name is Jazzy Couture Beauty. That's with a K. I sell lip care. I sell lip scrubs, lip gloss, lip balm. I actually make all my products handmade. And I have my own recipe that I, you know, curated. It took me about 6 months to, like, you know, perfect the recipe. It's hypoallergenic, made for men and women. Right now I am working on a mini rebrand that I'm going to come out by the end of December. But also open to, you know, helping other people with their businesses and everything like that to bring it, you know, up by, you know, either building them a website along with the logo, business card designs, and, you know, helping them optimize their business as much as possible. I also get paid on Instagram, so I'm also teaching people how to do that as well. I just get paid for posting videos, like random videos. The more views you get, the more money you make. So I'm also, you know, into teaching people that as well. If you do have a business and you'd like, you know, more exposure, you'd come to me. And I also would post to my followers and or other people from, you know, around the world, and they'd also see and check you out. And then I'd explain that process to you and how you stay active on Instagram so you can get that invite to make that money. I also am an assistant manager at KOC. So if any young people are looking for a job, we're hiring. We start at the age of 16. And I believe the pay starts at $12 an hour, but you can most definitely work your way up. Other than that, I don't. But do you have any questions or anything like that?
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Jazzy? Has her own line of lipstick. Isn't that amazing? We could do this.
Yeah.
She's a very creative young lady. Very smart. And like I said, her lipstick is really good.
How can we order?
My site actually, I have a website that I actually made. It is called jazzycouturebeauty.com, JazzyKouture, beauty, BEAUTY.com. And if you go on there, I have, like, you know, a selection of lip care that you can choose from. And also, if you're interested in, you know, a younger person starting their business, I'd also have an option for you to begin a class where I teach your child how to make lip gloss, and, you know, or any other thing like that. If they don't want to do lip gloss, they can, like, you know, sell clothes or, you know, accessories to that sort and everything like that. And then you can start from there.
Thank you.
Hey, and that,
no problem.
Mm-hmm. And that's Instagram at Jazzy Couture Beauty, Couture with a K. Okay, good deal. Okay, Jazzy, well, thank you. Anything else you want to leave? You know, that's good for the young folk if they want to be able to make their own lines of lipstick or, you know, and just show them what they can do to be entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it was one guy on here. I think he said he was, like, in 11th grade. So he wanted to, like, you know, mm-hmm. go ahead and just give me a DM on my Instagram or my personal and or my business one. You know, I can go ahead and just set him up mm-hmm. with some things and just let him know. Or if anybody who's listening who need, like, you know, additional help, I'd be more than happy to assist because I've been in the business for about 3 years. I started when I was almost 19. I'm 22, about to be 23 at the end of this month. And I feel like, you know, I have an advantage, and I'm here to share.
Good deal. Okay, well, I know I'm going to see you on Monday, so that's good. And then I'm going to make sure I let those young fellas that came on today, if they're not listening, if they are listening, make sure that they get your information so that they could, you know, utilize whatever you have to offer them. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so thank you for having us. And we're going to keep up with you and hear from you in the future, okay?
Most definitely.
All right. Thank you, Jazzy. Okay. Ms. Landrum, are you there? Are you out there?
Yes, I am, Ms. Clyburn. I am here. And it's good to be back to talk with you. I'm doing fine. And it's good to be back to talk with you and your audience tonight. So I wanted to tell you that we are working here in Southwest Detroit 48217 on opportunities for young people. And I am so happy to just hear the inspirational conversation that you just had with these young people and their college information about how to start a business and how to become a healthcare professional. This is really inspiring and encouraging because we know today our kids need guidance. And who better to guide our children than other children that's doing something and making something out of their life? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about the environment. I have been a environmental justice advocate in the Detroit area, specifically the Southwest Detroit area, for more than 25 years. That has been because we in this area of Southwest Detroit, E-Course, and River Rouge, we live among more than 42 major and minor polluting sources, which have contributed to poor air quality. And in our area, we have a high rate of asthma among our children. We have a high rate of cancer in our community and other chronic diseases that we can actually connect to the poor air quality and from the emissions from the surrounding industry that we live among. And so with that being said, we have always pushed and fought for better air quality in reduction of pollution coming from the surrounding communities. Just recently, the U.S. steel plant in River Rouge idled itself and laid off more than 1,500 workers. And DTE in River Rouge, U.S. Steel is located in E-Course. Forgive me for that. And DTE in River Rouge over at the mouth of the Detroit River and in Ballinger Park has shut down its coal-powered plant. With those two plants closing, one idling and one shutting down, it has improved the air quality significantly from the reduction of sulfur dioxide, which is SO2, one of the contributing factors in a lot of breathing conditions for humans. With that happening, the reduction of the emissions between those two plants, the EPA, the United States EPA, has now deemed our area in attainment for the National Air Quality Standard. That means for more than 13 years, sulfur dioxide had been spewing into our air above the National Air Quality Standard. And with those two plants shutting down, now the air quality standard for us, SO2, is in compliance. That means we meet the National Air Quality Standard. And what the challenge is that our communities are not educated on environmental issues that may have an impact on their health. One being that we had a asthma educator by the name of Elizabeth Milton come to our local church, New Mount Hermon, here right on Deacon and Gleason, and teach a class called Asthma is Not Normal. Many of our children are being born with asthma. Many of our children are growing up to develop asthma, as well as now we see a high rate of our adults being diagnosed with asthma. So it is our goal to educate our community about air pollution and the possible impacts it could have on your health and the health of your unborn child. So we need to generate the knowledge and pass it on to our community people so that they can learn how to better protect themselves. And one way that we felt it would be helpful if we started educating our children from the ground up about air pollution. So in the future, we're going to be hosting pollution one-on-one workshops here in the area that parents can bring their children in and they can attend to learn about the different kind of chemicals that are in the air coming from the major polluting facilities like Marathon, like DTE, like our Muse Line, like Zug Island, like the wastewater treatment plant, U.S. Steel, and Cleveland Cliffs in Dearborn, which is the formerly the Rouge Real River Rouge, the Rouge River, excuse me, forgive me that, the Rouge Ford Rouge Steel Mill. And with that being said, we are going to have a essay writing contest for young people. We're trying, our target is 50 young people to write a letter to the United States EPA about why clean air is important. And each child, each youth, because it's from the ages of 16 to 18, will get a $25 stipend. And with that being said, they can be eligible for more prizes. We are looking at trying to garner the information for our young people to learn about air pollution, to learn about soil pollution, to learn about water pollution. And it doesn't have to be hard, a long essay. What they can do, one paragraph. They can do a page. We're asking for one page or less of why clean air is important. We had a young lady write, she was only 6 years old. She wrote that clean air is important because she lives with her great aunt, and her great aunt has a breathing problem. And her great aunt goes to sleep with a mask on. And every night she prays to God that her auntie wake up because she's afraid that at night her auntie might die in her sleep. So that's just a simple little six-year-old. And she can understand the health challenge that her aunt is going through. But does she understand that the air could possibly be having an impact on her aunt's health? Her aunt has grown up in this area all her life, right? We, in this area of Southwest Detroit, River Rouge, and 42-17, we've grown up with stinky air. We've grown up with our air being orange and brown and black soot being on our freshly fallen snow and fallout on our cars. You know, our cars used to get so dirty when I was growing up. We used to write on the cars, wash your car is dirty. And it was not uncommon to see our residents hosing down their homes and hosing down their porches and driveways. That's because there was fallout. There was soot. There was dust on their homes. And that was coming from the surrounding industries. So what we're trying to do now, we're trying to educate our children about air pollution and about the agencies that are our regulatory agencies that govern policies to restrict and police the industries that we live among. So upcoming information will be coming soon. I'm just putting the word out there right now. We're wanting to let the families get through their Thanksgiving holiday, and then we will be putting out flyers and letters for children to take home through the schools if possible, and, or through the PTLs, the parent groups that run the former PTAs for the schools, to get the information out. And we want people to learn and become aware of their environment and what health impacts can come from breathing and living for bad air for so many years.
Wow, that's a lot. So you said the essay is for 16 to 18-year-olds.
No, 6 year olds to 18.
Oh, 6 year olds. Okay, good.
Right. I mean, they're learning to write, and they're learning to write paragraphs, right?
Yeah. Right, right. They are. I know. I took a group of kids to the science center this past weekend, and they had the clean air initiative there as well, and they had them to enter into a contest. With the Lego drawing, you know, what they feel about clean air and things like that. So they did participate in that. So so they're ready to do this. so they already know what to do, actually. And so we'll make sure that they get into this writing contest. Yeah.
Right. And actuality, Kathy. Actuality, Kathy. I think that if you know the history of Southwest Detroit, the EJ mm-hmm. movement is what it is today because of the advocacy, the voices that came out of 4217 talking about the pollution and its impacts on our health, not only for greater Detroit, but for Michigan and nationwide. You can hear people call in from California, and they say, well, we read an article about the most polluted zip code in the state of Michigan, and that has been 4217 for many years. The University of Michigan did a mapping study and using the toxic release inventory and the concentration of these more than 42 major and minor polluting sources to map out and see that our community is the most polluted zip code in the state of Michigan. And people don't understand that. When we were growing up, people, when we said we're from Southwest Detroit, people knew. They said, oh, where is Stink at? Because we had a concentration of the soap factory, the glue factory, the linen company, the cleaning industry, the wastewater treatment plant.
Excuse me.
I had a coughing spell. Turnstead, the mini factory. And over in Delray, Michigan, right now, with the building of the Gordie Howe International Bridge, we have a serious, serious dust matter. PM10, PM2.5, things that you can't see with the naked eye that we're breathing on a daily basis, which are contaminated soils and dust from the factories that left poison there, and it was never cleaned up. So today as we speak, over in Delray and downriver blowing here, we have dust coming from that Gordie Howe Bridge, which is full of PFAS, forever chemicals, and other dangerous chemicals right now being blown into our air. So right now we're working with our state regulatory agency, Environmental Great Lakes and Energy, to talk about how we can mitigate that area during this construction. They're supposed to be watering it down. They're supposed to be planting grass to hold down the dust, the fugitive dust, but it's not working. Here in the city of Detroit, due to our advocacy, we are now one of the first cities to have a fugitive dust ordinance, which it came out of the outcry from the community, residents that were being impacted by truck traffic, which is mobile pollution, and the stationary sources like DTE, U.S. Steel, Marathon, and other companies. And we've been working with the United States EPA Region 5 for ways to offset that by using vegetative buffers with planting trees and brush that will capture that and further protect the community from the pollution sources. So what we need to do now, we need to get young people involved to learn about their health, to learn about the health impacts that they have, and to learn, realize one thing, we're in the middle of a climate crisis, right? That's why we're seeing so many hurricanes, and we're so seeing so many fires out west, and we've seen earthquakes and floods because the climate is being impacted by greenhouse gases. Greenhouse gases are the thing that are destroying our protective ozone layer. And we need forestry like the rainforest. They create our atmosphere. And they're being, through deforestation, they're being torn down, cut down, and burned down. And that is having a serious impact on Mother Earth and the creation of clean air. So with this essay contest, one paragraph, just make it impactful, or just one page to make it impactful of why clean air is important. So further details will follow. I hope to be able to call when you have your next phone cast to give the actual details of when the essay, when the contest, writing contest will be available for people to just write a paragraph, a page of why clean air is important.
Okay. So you don't have the dates of when the deadline is or when it can start.
Yeah. No, I don't have the exact date because what we wanted to do, this is vacation season, right? You got families coming in, families going out. We want people to be able to enjoy their Thanksgiving holiday. And one thing that I failed to mention is that we here in the United States, across the world, we are in the midst of a pandemic. And communities that are overburdened, are vulnerable communities that are overpolluted by industry, they are the most vulnerable because they have been impacted by dangerous chemicals for many, many years. So they're already impacted. Their bodies are already challenged. So when COVID hit, it hit the frontline communities, the communities that are on the front line surrounded by industry hard. And many of those communities were Black, low-income communities. So when COVID hit, we had a huge rate of death because their immune system, their lung system, their upper respiratory system had already been weakened and impacted. So they were unable to fight off COVID. People with COPD, people with asthma, people with cancer, people with diabetes already had underlying conditions. Their bodies were not strong enough to fight the COVID-19 virus that invaded their body because we were already vulnerable, because we were already put in that position because of the pollution that had already impacted our health.
Okay. Well, we definitely have a pollution problem out here. I just going over the bridge, you know, coming and going and seeing all the pollution just going up in the air, and just, I'm like, wow, that just, you know, you just look at it and you just wonder, you know, what it's really doing, you know, to the people. And I know that a family I know lived across Schaefer. They moved over there and they had to move out right away because their kids already had asthma, and the water and everything, the smell over there made them even sicker. And they had to just, like, move right away. So, yeah,
exactly.
It's doing some damage. I saw it firsthand.
Yeah. Our quality of life has been impacted for many, many years. We know that during the first wave of the first migration after World War One, and the second wave during World War II, African Americans came from the South to work in these steel mills, to work in these factories, to work in these automotive companies to gain a better life, not knowing the very entities that they worked at to put bread on the table and pay their lights and gas would have a serious impact on their health. We all heard about the years about the mesothelioma due to the asbestos, correct? And now you're talking about Camp Le Guin that was impacted by the poisonous water. And they have lawsuits, and they have put up trust for people that were impacted by these things to actually apply and get money for their health being impacted by these dangerous chemicals that have been put in our water. But we also have to look at the poisonous chemicals that are being put into our air. And you, like you said, going over the Rouge Bridge, you could see the massive amounts of factories. You go I-75 north or south, when you get on that Rouge Bridge, you can look left or right, and you can see that our communities are surrounded by nothing but industry, which have encroached on our residential properties for many, many years. And as you said, your family moved over across Schaefer, and that's closer to the Marathon Refinery, and they had to move away because the poor air quality was impacting their health, which was already jeopardized by asthma. We have to teach our kids what are the asthma triggers, right? We have ozone days, and the ozone days alert you to don't use your lawnmower, don't do things, activities outside and contribute to the bad air day. Well, we are working also with a gentleman who has the purple air monitor, where we're going to actually ask people to take a monitor, put it on your house. It's all free. You don't have to pay anything. Just be able to plug it in into an electrical box and then hook it up to your internet service. And it will tell you green is a good day. Yellow, orange, and red. When you see those things, yellow is a warning, orange is dangerous, and then red is extreme dangerous. And that would be an advisory for you not to go outside and do any activities, to stay inside and cool if possible and limit your activity because it could be jeopardizing your heart. Just like they're warning people now, when the snow comes, don't be out there shoveling snow because you could possibly have a heart attack. Well, that's the same thing with poor air quality. You could be out there cutting your grass and fall and dead in your yard from, you know, being exposed to pollutants that are extremely high that day. So we have to look at all factors. So we are now in the phase
of doing educational. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, this is a whole show by itself. And so I think that we're going to have to bring you back again and, like, really just talk about this in depth. We did covered a lot today, but maybe we could bring you back on with some other members and that could, we could really talk about this in a roundtable discussion. Just so when we'll talk.
Right. Well, look, tell your listeners, we're telling your listeners now, look forward to the essay writing contest. We're not asking for anything elaborate. We're just asking you to talk your feelings and your experience. And write a one paragraph or one pager, and each person will get a stipend, and then we will be offering bigger prizes as we get the details worked out.
Okay. Well, we're going to do it on our block.
Okay, great.
We
great.
Encourage everybody else to do it on their block and get this done. Let them know that we are really concerned about this and our air quality. Yes. Thank
right,
you, Ms.
Right.
Landrum. You do so much
you.
For the community, and that was a lot to know. And I just really want to hear more about that. You know, we had a lot that we discussed today, and I really want to hear more about that. Okay?
Thank you so very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Look forward to you coming back on again. Thank you.
For sure.
Appreciate you. Pastor, where you at? Where you at? Where you at?
And something. I thought I was hearing
Hello.
Something. And I was like, how am I hearing myself? Especially when I heard
the
vaccine.
Awesome.
Yeah. Boy, it's been I heard myself. I said, my mic must be open. Okay, I didn't have my headset on. I'm just listening through my monitor.
Okay.
But it's been an information-packed show. I mean, you know, from school to environment and how it's affecting our youth. And they're growing up in a worse environment than we did, you know, because it's – but then again, like she said, with Great Lakes Steel and with Edison cutting down a coal-burning plant, that's a good start. And what they probably really need to do is have Marathon just go ahead and buy that, just buy out the community and give people enough money to move somewhere else. But because that's a big problem. That's a big problem, especially for those who live in what we call down in the hole, because they are right across the street from it. And, you know, and you can give people a check for what you did in the past, and then say going forward, you can't say nothing about what we do. That's kind of a crazy thing too, because if you gave me a check because the air quality was bad, the check didn't make the air quality get better. You just appeased me with some money. So, that's going to take some fixing. I thank God that there's people out there that's working on that and understand that global warming is a real thing. Everybody laughed at Al Gore when he started talking about it way back when he was with Bill Clinton in the 90s. Right, that's when he started talking about it, and everybody thought it was a joke. And look at us today. Look at us today. But like I said, it was an action-packed show. You know, I love the tutoring thing. You know, when Jackie was talking about, well, when you was talking about how she took on an extra person, I think about great people who somebody took a little extra time with, and you see it all the time. When these people become great and they think back to this person, this teacher who helped me, if it had not been for them, at that time, at that moment in my life, it made a significant difference, a shift that pointed me this way. Okay, like the one who is in school and talking about having made some mistakes in the past, but worked past those things, but those things kind of helped point him this way. And so I thought about, you know, if you're tutoring kids, I mean, in the future, that's got to pay off. That has got to pay off because you're making a contribution. Rather than just talking about it, you're actually doing something about it. And see, that's modeling. What you do is actually doing something with these kids. What Jackie is doing, actually doing something, that's modeling. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to come on here and tell people what they should do, but you're not doing it. But if you're doing it, then you're modeling. Like the young lady who is in business for herself, she's been through the hard part. She, you know, I was in business for 25 years, so I know what she's going through, trying to make sure that a business works, trying to ride out all the ups and downs and the bounce and the rounds of the economy and still turn a profit. You start your business in 1 year, inflation is 2%. Next year, you're in business, inflation is 8%. So how do you make a profit? How much can you pass on to your customers? And what is the increased cost of whatever it is you are buying going to do your profit margin? So she has weathered some real storms the 3 years she's been in business. If it was, what, 2021, 22, and 22? Or to start 19, 20, 21, and then 22 ain't over yet? But whatever the case, she learned under some extreme circumstances. And if she was able to survive, that is somebody you want to talk to if you're thinking about getting in business. If you feel like you can't work for anybody, you want to set your salary. You want to set the pace of your income, your raises, your increases, and you want to be in business. You're going to work hard because there'll be nobody to tell you to get up in the morning. You will have to, if you're not self-motivated, you might just want to get a job with somebody because you're going to have to get up and go. And the parts of your job that you don't do now, you will be doing. Okay, you will be doing so. But to have somebody who's willing to reach back, those who are in college are willing to reach back. Those who've graduated in their fields are willing to reach back and help somebody. I heard one say that he wanted to reach back and bring as many up where he is, you know, as many as he can. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. And if those who have really reached those heights would do that, that we as a people, as black people, would be further along. But, you know, the Lord always thinks along the lines of all people. Even though the world has shifted, it used to just be us at the bottom. But I have neighbors who are not black, but they're not faring as well as my wife and I. And so things have shifted. And so the bottom got a whole new group of people down there. You know, it used to be us, and now we're up here, and they're there. So things have shifted. So, but to be able to reach back and help your people and all people is an awesome thing. Now, the one guy who was talking about, he's into coding. See, I learned about coding and how, like he said, without that, you have no website. All these pictures you see, any words you see, when you go to a website, anything you see is a bunch of scribble in the back, in the text area of your page. On your website, Kat, on my website, I when you go to PayPal, if you want a PayPal button, when you go to get it, it's not going to be that button you see on the page. It's going to be a bunch of little squiggly lines and letters and things that seem like they don't make any sense. But when you take those and you insert them where you put the code in and you do whatever you have to do to save it or whatever. And then when you go look at the page, then you see a PayPal sign. You see a PayPal button. But all you took, look, it seemed like a bunch of scribble. Now, that is what he was talking about, is you want to get into that area because it's everything you look at. These phones, everything you look at that has anything to do with a computer is going to be code. But somebody's going to have to write that code to make that work. And if you can do that, like my pastor's son, he got into that. And I think he lives in Texas now. He was in California, but I think he's in Texas now. And he lives in a gated community. That's the kind of income you can make from what he was talking about.
Wow.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you can pick the level. You can pick how much you want to do. I mean, look at it. Computers are everything that we look at. And then when you got somebody like that who's into that and willing to help you, well, see, that's even better right there. That's doing something real. You know, an order exists today called the Franciscans because of a man who had the same kind of heart that they have, willing to reach back and help. He helped a man named Francis. Okay, his name was Dominic of Guzman, and he had a dream that this man would, he would meet this man the next day, and he would say to him, "You must come and walk with me together. Nothing can stop us." And so the next day, he met Francis. He was the son of a rich man, and after meeting Dominic of Guzman, he had this conversation with him. He left everything and followed with him, studied under him. He tutored him, and he became the man that we know today, St. Francis of Assisi. And the order that he founded was the Franciscans. And that's because somebody reached back, tutored him, and helped him to become the man that we know. Well, Pope Francis today, he chose his papal name to model himself after the man I just told you about. That's why they choose those names, that they get the same thing with kings, but we don't have that, but England does. But they pick those names because they're modeling themselves after that. St. Francis is a Jesuit. He's came along with Ignatius Loyola, that group, okay? But he chose the papal name Francis, and so he chose the name of two Catholic reformers, if you will. And all of these people existed because somebody reached back, tutored them. And that's why I say, I mean, to tutor somebody, like you say, they need a lot of help. They got a long way to go. But I remember when St. Patrick went over to, and I'm going to quit, maybe Holy Ghost says, let me know if you preach it. When St. Patrick went to Ireland, okay, and he brought the Irish to Christianity. They had been a oral tradition society. They just talked. They didn't write anything. They couldn't read anything. But later on, somebody taught them how to read. They were tutored. Somebody who knew how helped somebody who was trying to learn how. Well, while Rome was going through the Dark Ages, and the barbarians were attacking them over and over and over and burning up all the books of learning, the libraries and everything. Well, these Irish monks had become literate, and they were recopying all of the books that were written up to that time, including the Bible. And because of them, we have the books that we have today. We wouldn't have those if it wasn't for the recopying that went on in those scriptoriums that they built inside of each one of their churches. So that reaching back, that tutoring, that willingness to help bring somebody else along is what has gotten us from Adam to this very day. To this very day. I mean, if you just read the Bible or just study secular history, you will see somebody help somebody behind them. until we ended up where we are today. We are all, none of us are self-made. All of us, somebody contributed some time to make a difference in our lives. And if we just looked, we'd see that person. And we'll see when the trajectory of our life just changed. So, awesome show, Kat. I am amazed every single week at all the information that comes out and how folks are willing to, everybody recognizes the problem. But it's really nice to see that somebody's actually doing something and inspiring other people. I could hear the excitement in the people who came on tonight to talk about what they were doing, had doing, and going to. Okay? And they're excited about that. That tells you that people want this. That tells you this is the right time, this is the right place. And like, you know, they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, so give it some days.
Yeah.
Who knows? This is just the beginning.
It's coming along. Yeah, it's coming along.
Imagine
I'm happy
10
with
years
our
from now.
Yeah. Yes, looking forward to it. You see, I'll be 67 now. I'll pass this baby down to somebody else.
Well, I have 1,000 helpers. Yeah. See, that's what I do in the church. I say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. And he said, well, don't worry about it. I know some people, and they got skills, and you'll know them when you see them and put them in these positions. Then you don't have to do it by yourself. I trained them for it.
Right.
They're going to come to you already trained. And so far, everybody in key positions at Running for Christ Ministries were kind of already doing what they're doing now.
Right. You will put them to work. I'm going to learn how to put them all to work.
it frees me up to be able to do a lot of studying and, you know, working on this next book, and it frees me up for that. And plus all the, I'm a little late tonight because, you know, I had a session just before the show, but I'm telling you, they'd be so awesome, and I learned so much, I can hardly want to quit, but.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, I'm learning more than they are.
Together.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I learned so much because you get to listen a lot, and people are really more awesome than they know.
Great.
But, you know, I want to thank you. I just want to say I'm thankful for the guests that came on tonight. I listened to them intently. And their spirit, I was just so impressed with their spirit. I mean, you're talking about restoring your hope in the youth. They did that. I mean, they are different. They let you know that everybody is not a Facebook fight getting ready to happen. Okay, somebody is serious about life and business and willing to help.
Proud of them. Proud of all of them. Yeah, we got work to do, but we're getting there. We're getting there. It's a big ocean, but we're going to be able to get through. Yeah.
Hey, next week we're going to be...
Thank you, Asimo.
Next week we're going to be out in front of the church doing the lunch giveaway. We won't be inside. We'll be outside doing the lunch giveaway, and plus there'll be other things that's going to be given away of several gift cards. But, you know, just wanted to put that out there next Wednesday. I think about 11 o'clock or 10 or 11 o'clock we'll be over there at the church doing the giveaway thing. And since it's the day before Thanksgiving, it'll be a little bit more giveaway than what's usual.
Okay. Is that Fresh Fruit Ministries?
First Fruit Living Ministries, yes,
Fresh
with
Fruit.
Michelle.
Okay.
Now, I'll be sending out an email.
Oh, great, great. Okay. You want to get an address for that or just...
Yeah, what is it, 27085 West Otter Drive, 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan, 48229.
All right. Fresh Fruit Ministries and Run for Christ Ministries on Otter Drive and Ecorse next Wednesday. I'll be giving away some good stuff, getting prayer,
yeah,
and lunches. They're doing the lunches and all that.
Yes, it'll be lunches, prayer if you need it, rededication, want to give your life to Christ, all of that.
Good deal. All right, come on down. Okay, well, thank you, Awesome O. That's it. You have anything else you want to share with us?
No, you're welcome. We got our weekend services tomorrow at 9. Pastor mm-hmm. Janice Tate going to be teaching Sunday school. Well, church school, that's what we call it on Saturday. And then mm-hmm. we have our 10 o'clock worship service. Elder Joseph Stevens will be preaching. And then Sunday, yours truly will be preaching. Our service starts at 10 a.m. We're going to be talking about the end times. We're going to 1 Thessalonians mm-hmm. chapter 2, what the world will be like just before the Antichrist shows up and the church gets raptured out. So we'll be talking about that on Sunday.
Oh, listen in. Tune in. Same number. Tune in. Okay, well, thank you, Awesome. Oh, you're always awesome.
You're welcome.
Okay. And I want to thank all of our awesome guests that we had today, Dan Brannigan and Tony Anthony Cox. And Jazzy Culture Beauty with the lip gloss. And who else did we have today? And Jacob Ribron, all those good young people doing some great things in the world. And we just want to thank Teresa and Miss Jackie, our tutor, doing a wonderful job, and Miss Teresa Landrum. Thank you for everybody listening, and we'll see you the same time next week. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family on Friday from 7 to 8:30 or 7 to 9-ish, something like that, and tell them to tune in, bring the kids in to listen so that they can, you know, learn and know that they could do, like Dan said, they could be whatever they could be, you know. They could do it too. And here on Bring Back the Family, we want all of our kids to be able to have what they need to make it in this world. Okay? So thank the listeners and everybody that participated. Hey, we got work to do. Let's do it. Thank you.